Always great when he's with us, the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bern, how was your weekend?
Had a busy weekend. I mean, it's been a little hectic from the work and from the news standpoint with training camp and everything happening in our Browns world.
Yeah, let's start with that because from the standpoint of when we last spoke, between that time and now, the story breaking about the negotiations that Randy Lerner is having with another potential new owner for the Browns and in the process of negotiating what would be controlling interest of the team. Jimmy Haslam is the person who is in the process of talking with Randy about this. And I guess the first place to start with you, Bernie, is how you see the impact once, you know, and if and when, I guess, everything is completed, and there are steps to this and phases to this, but sort of jumping ahead to a point where this gets done, what do you think it means to the Browns? And you can speak to it, I know, from a player perspective, from a fan perspective, from a, you know, from a Northeast Ohio person perspective.
Well, first and foremost, you know, the league and the team and the Lerner family, you know, I know they want to do the right thing by the Shield and by the team and having it be secure and stable, and being in Cleveland, Ohio, and still continuing to be the Cleveland Browns so that there's no threats or things of any of that nature, of the team moving or things of that nature. Yeah. You know, from a player standpoint, you know, guys may comment or think a little bit, but at the end of the day, players really need to, and generally do, stay focused on what they need to do to beat out that guy right behind him trying to take his job, focusing on that practice, focusing on that play, focusing on what they need to do to be to solidify their spot on the roster and be a playmaker within the team and within the league. So that kind of stuff really, to the players who are going to last in the league, doesn't really affect them so much. Probably another story from the administrative side of it, because they have to work more in conjunction, you know, with issues like this. But it's still early, somewhat early in the process, and probably a lot more speculating. And these things tend to go a little slower than faster. So I think there'll be plenty of time to kind of figure it out. And from a player and coaching perspective, I think they have the right attitude. I'm just sticking with what they had planned to do.
Yeah, and Bernie, you're right about that. First of all, it's a massive deal, a team, you know, changing hands. That all the layers that go to that, and certainly the amounts of money you're talking about, it doesn't, as you say, just happen in a very quick way. There's a lot of, people can use terms like fast track and the speculation that maybe somewhere by the end of August or September, the rest of the league owners could be taking an approval vote on this. All of that said, it's still complicated. It's very big business. A lot of people are involved, and a lot of things are out there to consider. But all of that aside, it's the timing too that has made this as much a story as anything else, because of it happening at the start of training camp. And I think from that standpoint, you just say to yourself, well, you can't really, I guess, predict when business deals get done and when opportunities are created. And I fully understand from Randy Lerner's perspective that team values and the health of this team financially, all of that stuff would likely make it a good time to make a move. You're at the front end of a long-term collective bargaining agreement, all that stuff. But still, it's the training camp has just gotten underway, and this becomes a bigger story, I guess, than training camp.
Well, there's no doubt that it is a big story, and it is a big event. But again, the success or failure of the team, the W's or L's of the team, typically revolve around the players and coaches. And albeit, you know, it's something that guys will talk about or have be asked about, the majority of their time and focus and energy is really spent on, you know, quarterback-wise, how do my reads go? Where do I make my throws? Receivers making the catches, the linemen, you know, learning the assignments and pass protection and things of that nature. It doesn't really, to be a solid player and coach, you really stick to the simplicity of just taking it a play at a time, like Marty Schottenheimer used to say, taking it a play at a time, a step at a time, and just getting that stuff done.
Yeah, that's a hugely important aspect to emphasize. We're visiting with Bernie Kosar, as we always do here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, you know, I'll say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I think there's some truth to it, Bernie, because as long as I've been around this game, and it's been a long, long time, I've been in situations where players would be hard-pressed to actually name or know who the owner was. I mean, unless you're talking about a Dallas or certain places where the owner is very, very prominent on the entire landscape of the team and maybe functioning in that GM. Mike Brown in Cincinnati, I mean, he's very visible and the interaction is there. But in a lot of cases, and you could say, well, Randy Lerner has chosen heavily to be a guy who remains behind the scenes, who stays out of the media. That's true with other owners who you don't see very, very front and center as a presence. And as I said, the player's focus is to be players. If you ask them probably to you know, identify him or say, or if you mention the name, you know, it wouldn't shock me if like half the guys said didn't have a clue and don't really care. They deal with the coaches. They certainly might have an awareness of the GM because, you know, he got the contract done, but that was with their agent. And sometimes those guys never even see that guy. You know, the paperwork gets signed and they don't have to actually deal with him face to face. So it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these guys are just, as you put it, just so focused on their job. They don't necessarily even have to be told to be focused on their job because that's what the deal is.
Yeah, it's really part of their DNA, you know, part of their nature to just focus on their given assignments and what they have to do to play good within the team, play good within the practice, play good within the preseason game, and then at the real time, make plays during the season.
And speaking of that, watching training camp practices, it's interesting that it looks like, to a certain degree, with Brandon Whedon, he has, you know, at times had that rookie look about him. He had some struggles over the weekend. Saturday, in particular, had a few bad decisions I saw in yesterday's practice and made some corrections on those. But, you know, there's a challenge. This defense, generally speaking, Bernie, seems to be, the Browns defense seems to be ahead of the offense, seems to be in places where the ball is as the ball is getting there. Guys are well covered, and although they're not generating actual real pressure on the quarterback, you can see them buzzing by and in a different environment. I mean, he still stands tall. He still looks like a guy who is very much very different than the other quarterbacks in how he handles things, but it was. I think there have been some eye opening moments, and he's admitted it too that he has stayed up pretty late studying his tape and studying the corrections he needs to make each day.
Well, Vic, not to show our age, but
what we will.
How many training camps over the last few decades have we said during the first couple days of practice, first week of practice, where the defense is ahead of the offense?
About a million, something
yeah.
like that, give or take.
And with the youth on our offense this year, with Schwartz at right tackle, with the supplemental pick and the fourth
Josh
round
Gordon,
pick, a
yeah.
receiver.
Yeah.
Greg Little's really just going into his second year. Brandon Whedon, number one pick. Trent Richardson, rookie. Probably justifiably so, even more so. I really like Brandon Whedon's answer, though, to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his maturity of knowing that it really was the first day of practice Saturday for the whole team. We're really 10 days or so before the first game, the first preseason game,
right.
6 weeks or so before the first real game. You know, this is the time to test yourself. And Gary Danielson confirmed the thoughts I had when I was in this situation. This is the time now to practice, see what you could do, see if you could fit it down the field. Anybody could hit the check down. there's time and a place for that, better judgment and times to do that during the season, you know, probably would materialize on some of those mistakes he made over the weekend. But not only to show himself, I think it was imperative to show the team that he has the aggressiveness and confidence in himself to make the attempt and to try to go down the field and show that he has that ability and confidence in himself and in his young receivers to make those plays. You know, defensive backs, D linemen, offensive linemen, coaches, everybody watches how the young quarterback handles himself, no matter what team you're at.
Right.
And for him to show them, show his teammates, that he's here ready to play, he's not awed by the situation, he's not afraid of the environment, and to still be able to talk about being aggressive and then back it up by making some throws, showing that he is aggressive, trying to make plays down the field.
Yeah, he says, I'm an aggressive thrower, and you're right, in a certain opportunities, for instance, on Sunday, doing a lot of third and long drills against, you know, you're in those seven-on-sevens, and those are the opportunities where you can challenge, as you say, downfield. The other interesting thing, Bernie, from an adjustment standpoint, beyond mentioning that there are rookies in the receiving corps in Josh Gordon, Travis Benjamin, Greg Little seems to be spending a lot of time. He is spending a lot of time in the slot, particularly with looks that keep Gordon on the field as much as possible. You could see what's happening there. And I know Little had some exposure to slot work with the multiple sets that the Browns used last year, but it seems to be a far more concentrated effort in this camp. And I'm not sure how comfortable yet he is in that role.
Well, me and you talked ad nauseum about the receivers last year, and a lot of times weren't very festive about the results the way it was going.
No.
You know, to be nice about
it.
Nice. These guys are young. Josh Gordon, a.k.a. like Greg Little last year, hasn't played a lot of football. He's still young. Early, I think we're going to have some growing pains. There'll be some issues. But I really like, from an athleticism standpoint, the way things seem to be shaking out with these young receivers and quarterback, because it gives you a lot of options. We have the matchups, which is always imperative in the NFL. Guy like Greg Little, who I thought was big, then I see Josh Gordon, who's even bigger. There's matchups that other teams now will actually have issues with trying to cover the Cleveland Browns receivers, and we haven't been able to say that in quite a while.
No, great stuff. Bernie, wonderful, and we look forward to talking again soon, my brother.
Sounds good.
He is the one and only Bernie Kosar, joining us as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.